You're listening to Path to Adland with Ali Osmer. Learn about careers in advertising and get advice from industry professionals.
Hello, this is Ali Osmer, and I am here with Lisa Hinckley, who is the Field Career Consultant at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. That is a mouthful. All right, Lisa's going to tell us a little bit about some advice about careers, interviewing, some tips, and I'll just swing the microphone over to her and let her go.
All right, thanks, Ali. I think one of the most intimidating parts of interviews is that especially students that are just graduating feel like the interview is a test and that there's something that they're supposed to know that they don't. They're wondering where the review sheet is, and really they're just hoping that they're not going to mess up because they really want to get a job. So setting that aside can be a pretty powerful tool to just helping improve an interview. The primary issue with having that mindset that this is a test and that there's some way to mess it up and that there's a right answer forgets the idea that really when you're looking for a job, you're looking for an opportunity that's really going to let you grow and that's going to be a good fit for you, that's going to be a good environment, that's going to let you do interesting work. And those are the kinds of things that are generally co-created. So if you're thinking about, okay, there's this test, I've got to answer the right questions, you may end up creating a position that isn't actually the position that you want.
Because there's no right or wrong answer. It's kind of just creating what's right for you.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Because there are times that I can say I've heard some things that have happened in interviews. Honestly, I don't know that the average interviewer would be too excited about them. For example, there was one student who said something along the lines of, gosh, I wish I could remember.
Was this
remember
you heard it from the interviewer told you the story or the student?
It was one of those secondhand stories that I heard about a student who had said a certain thing in an interview. Uh-huh. And I wish I could remember because it was one of those really off-the-wall things that it's clear in the delivery of how that person presented the information, it made it fly.
So
anyone else.
Uh-huh.
It ended up working. But anyone else that would go in and try to replicate that, you know, for example, the friend that came in my office and said, can I say this? Would have probably totally bombed at using that same strategy.
Be yourself and do what's right for you.
Be yourself
Don't
and do what's right for
what
you.
Other people tell you. Work
within reason,
okay.
Yes,
okay.
Definitely. Well, there's a pretty wide range of right answers. There are a few things that are not right to mm-hmm. say. If an employer says, why do you want this job? And you say, I don't know. That's not the right answer. If the employer asks that same question, you say, well, honestly, I don't really want this job, or I just want something that pays the bills. None of those are good answers. But as long as you're fully in the interview, you've done some research, and you're making a connection, you're probably on the right track.
Can you think of any other questions that we might expect as first-time entry-level in an interview? What kinds of questions are they going to, or a lot of employers throwing out there?
Employers are looking for, I'm going to step back mm-hmm. from the questions, because any list of questions, even if I gave you a list of 100 different questions, isn't going to be
right?
complete.
That's true. Yeah.
So to step back a little bit from that, there are three things that employers are looking for.
Right, okay.
They want to know about your content knowledge, your skills, and your qualities that you would bring to a position.
Mm-hmm.
The questions that they ask you are trying to get a sense of where you fall in those areas. So content knowledge is a lot of stuff that you learn from your major.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, how do you put together a campaign? It's more understanding your craft.
To make sure that you're not just some random person who's lying on your resume, or kind of just a double check, right? You have that knowledge.
It's something of a double check,
okay.
In a sense, but some employers won't be that concerned with whether or not you have a high degree of content knowledge
mm-hmm.
if you have a great degree of skill.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you are amazing at organizing, you're a great communicator, and you have good critical thinking skills, they may figure, you know what, you can learn what you need to know about, say, the mortgage industry or about understanding certain types of advertising
okay.
campaigns. The third element of what they're going to be looking for are qualities. Those are the things that are hardest to teach, hardest to write on a resume, but probably among the most compelling elements that you can show in an interview. That would be your enthusiasm, really how you orient yourself
kind of just
to the world.
Who you are, then.
Who you are.
Showing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can imagine someone who you've met before that's a slug,
uh-huh.
it would be pretty hard to change that person into something else. Mm-hmm. But someone who's high energy, it's also somewhat hard to change that person. So if you get someone who's got the right qualities for your organization, then you've got someone that's probably worth an investment.
Right. I have heard that again and again, that it's the enthusiasm that you really just want to get in there and do it, and you're genuine about it.
It's really important. Yeah. And interestingly, there are different types of enthusiasm too. If you begin talking with employers, you'll notice that even the highest energy employees at different organizations will present themselves differently. And that difference is valued in that culture. So while I made fun of the slug before, that may just be someone who's far lower energy than you are. Right. And in maybe a highly technical environment, that person might look a little bit more high energy.
Right.
And of course, that's making a huge assumption that people that are in technical environments are somehow less enthusiastic, but they tend to present themselves a little bit differently. People who are more introverted tend to present themselves a little bit more differently, and people in technology tend to be a little bit more introverted. So some big jumps there.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the culture of the company that you'd like to work for. Do you think that it's important to go in before and maybe find someone who already works there and ask them about the culture and find out, or maybe in the interview you'd probably want to ask that, but do you think that it's important to find that out before and maybe reflect that in even down to the, I've heard that for certain jobs you shouldn't wear a business suit to the interview because they just don't, if they dress casual, you just, you don't fit in with the culture, that's not what they do. So you, what do you think about that?
I think the more exposure you can get to an organization, the better. Mm-hmm. When you look like an insider, it's going to be easier for them to welcome you.
Right.
Now, certainly there are times when you may not wear a full suit to an interview. The norm is probably leaning toward the suit. And
even if that's not the typical...
Even if that's not the typical day-to-day attire. There are some settings that are so casual. Some production settings, for example, that are so casual that if you show up in a suit, they may be a little bit thrown off by that. Mm-hmm. But that still means wear dress pants, wear a dress shirt, wear a tie,
right,
unless you
nice.
Already know them so well that you know you can get away with less. Okay. So don't underestimate. It's always better to overdress, because if you wear the suit and you realize, wow, this is really uncomfortable, you can always take the suit jacket off to make yourself more casual. Mm-hmm. But if you have gone in casually,
you can't
really do anything else.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, press your pants because you forgot.
Right.
You really have to know what you're getting into. And sometimes that means taking some risks. Mm-hmm. If you know the company, you might know that you can get away with a magenta suit.
Right. Well, I've heard about when I went to New York, it was KBP, and they said that half the interviews that they had were in beanbag chairs.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe then a company like that might be a little bit more accepting of something a little bit more casual.
Yes, a company like that would very likely be accepting of something more casual. I do want to jump back a little bit to the interview questions.
Okay.
Well, certainly there's a strategy that employers are using, and that's part of why you come up with so many different types of interview questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you know yourself and you know what it is that that organization is after, it kind of fits with the culture piece too,
right,
then you can better respond to any question that they throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you practice responding to different types of questions, whether it's, tell me about why you want to work at this company, tell me about a time when you resolved a conflict, describe your most challenging supervisor, or tell me if you could be any sandwich, what you would be. And I do know for a fact that the sandwich question has come up in advertising interviews before. Even a question that seems as off the wall as that, though, can be related to your experiences and to the organization if you're on your game and you've practiced.
Right, and it kind of just shows that you can think off the cuff and
exactly
handle those situations, handle the pressure.
Yes, and I would expect that's part of why they ask that sort of a question.
Interesting. Well, do you have any other advice then, just as far as preparing for the interview or things that we might not think about right before we go in?
Interviewing is a topic that volumes have been written on, and probably many more volumes will be written on. The short of it is, though, that you need to understand why you want the position, why they might want you, and how you're going to communicate that. So don't trust yourself in that, well, okay. Trust yourself when you're in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust yourself beforehand, before you've done the research. Don't expect that by walking in and being high energy and just being so darn likable that you're going to get the job.
So preparation is still important. You still need to find out about the company.
Yes.
And be prepared for it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. It's sort of like if you think about cold prevention, we're sort of in cold season now. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Yes. Once you've got the cold, you've got the cold. Once you're in the interview, you're in. Right. You can't do any more research once you're sitting there. But beforehand, you can network, you can go online, you can even use some creative strategies to try to get some information that wouldn't usually be on places like the company website. Mm-hmm. So get to know the target. Practice answering questions out loud, not just in your head. Good the idea. Human brain tends to kind of jump around mm-hmm. a little bit, and we can think that we have got our thoughts totally together, but then when we start speaking, we realize we only had a series of half thoughts, and now we're trying to string them together.
Can't put them into sentences.
Crash and burn, exactly, exactly. So if you practice some of the key questions, mm-hmm. then when you get those questions that you have never even considered answers to, you get more brain power to use to really address those. In addition to the preparation beforehand, being on your game while you're there, it really makes a difference to follow up. Send a thank you letter, know what the next steps are, and take those next steps. If that's call back in 2 weeks, you call back in 2 weeks.
So how do you think you can decide then, based on if you send a thank you letter and you don't hear anything, would you do both? Would you call and send a thank you letter? Or how long would you wait? What's some of your general advice on that?
Generally, especially because at this point you would have had an interview, mm-hmm. during the interview, take control of the situation. Mm-hmm. At the end, when you start asking questions, make sure you ask, what are the next steps from here?
Okay.
So that you can get a sense of what their timeline is. And you may even say, if I don't hear from you in 2 weeks, do you mind if I give you a call back?
Okay.
Or what's the best way for me to follow up with you if I don't hear from you in 2 weeks?
Just ask them straight up.
Exactly. Because remember, you're starting a relationship here.
Right.
Especially if you're going into a communication field, if you show that you can't communicate during the interview, you've just hurt yourself. You've just hurt your chances of being able to get a job. If you show that you can very slickly ask for information and keep someone's guard down, that's going to help you. And of course, you get to make that call back. So if they're sitting on the fence about whether or not they're going to hire you, mm-hmm. you can give them some additional information, really set yourself apart.
Well, great. All right. Thank you very much for all of your advice. I'm sure everyone will really appreciate it. It's been fun. That was Lisa Hinckley, who works at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences as a field career consultant. And thank you very much.